The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Now, my next guest, big thrill, a well-known Irish cinematographer. He's currently working on the Netflix series Wednesday, and he's worked with the good and the great, from Tom Hanks to Bob De Niro. John Conroy, welcome to the show. Now, John, this might sound like a stupid question, but what is a cinematographer?
It's a photographer in moving pictures, really, you know, in cinema. It's commonly known as director of photography on the credits.
Right, but it's a very important, it's a very senior role, isn't it? In charge of everything to do.
Yeah, you are. You're in charge of the light and the camera movement and that sort of stuff. And so you're creating the mood, you know, you're deciding on the wide shots. You're in collaboration, obviously, with the director, because you're trying to get their vision across.
Right,
That's ultimately what you're trying to do.
And you have a team of people then around you that you work with.
Depending on the size of the project, you could have hundreds.
Right,
As opposed, and then there's some you could just have maybe like, you know, 10.
Well, tell us, how did you get into it? I believe it was all about your dad.
Yes, everything. My dad, he was a cinematographer as well. He shot My Left Foot and he shot, you know, The Field. And The Field was my first film as a clapper boy. Dad was a gaffer initially when I was growing up, and he worked on films like Excalibur and Zardoz and stuff like that.
Right.
And so when I was 8, I was on the set of Zardoz and 12 Excalibur. So you kind of fell in love with Camelot up in Ardmore Studios in the back lot. And I just wanted to go to work with him the whole time. And then it started, he bought a camera. He wanted to make the switch from being an electrician, sort of head electrician, to being a cameraman or a DOP. And so I assisted him whenever I could.
But how did you get into it then? How do you become a cinematographer?
Well,
if anybody's listening,
left school, I went over to London to work as a camera technician in a company called Panavision that rent the cameras. So you can't buy those cameras. They're handmade and they're rented out. So you kind of go over and you learn about the equipment and the technology around it and the lenses and how they all have to be so exact. And then I became a clapper boy in The Field, and then worked my way up through being a focus puller. And one of the things which I was very lucky about was, whenever a foreign DP or director of photography came into Ireland, and if I was lucky enough to work with them, I was very lucky that if they were doing a job in Britain or somewhere else, they actually asked for me to go with them. And that's how I ended up doing jobs like The Da Vinci Code and The Bourne Ultimatum and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and Sweeney Todd. They were because the cinematographer that was filming in Ireland on a smaller job I got on with, and they liked what I did, and therefore they took me abroad, which was fantastic.
Right. Yeah, so a message that strikes me in my business as well. Many sort of advances that we have in our careers are interpersonal skills, aren't they?
Yes.
It doesn't matter what you do. Like for me and both of us, lots of technical knowledge. But it sounds to me as if you must have had a great way with people to allow you to be asked to come along to the next gig or whatever.
I find, and also, you know, there's quite a lot of successful Irish people in the film industry, and I think they have a great work ethic, and I think they genuinely love being on a film set. And like, you know, I've been lucky enough to work most places in the world, and there's something about the Irish crew. Nothing's trouble.
Really?
To them.
Yeah.
They never
go,
oh God, what's he asking?
And they're good crack as well, I imagine, which is a big thing. Is that part
they
of
work
it?
They work so hard,
they deliver.
Yeah,
they're very professional.
And do it with a smile on their face.
Right.
You know?
So tell us about some of them. You mentioned The Da Vinci Code, for example. Drop a few names for me.
Tom Hanks, of course. And a really, really, really nice fella. Ron Howard as well, really good. Tim Burton a few times. In fact, I'm shooting Wednesday at the moment, not Tim's episodes, but another really good director, Paco Cabezas, Spanish director's episodes. But, you know, Tim's work is iconic, you know. And Paul Greengrass for The Bourne was fantastic. Matt Damon.
I presume it's you and the director. You sit very closely together, do you, really?
And
you've got to really connect with them and then realize their vision in part, isn't it? But you must be helping them to realize their vision too, obviously.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, ultimately, you're trying to capture for them what they want from the mood of a scene, especially with the lighting. You know, the camera move and the camera and the shot, the lenses, they're kind of a constant, you know, when you think about it. You can change the lenses for a different feel and stuff like that, but ultimately it's about the lighting.
Right. Has it changed much technologically? Because, like, you know, for example, I've got my iPhone and I can take a fantastic photograph now, can't I?
Yes, yes.
There's no need for me to buy a massively expensive camera necessarily, but has technology taken the skill away? Well, some of the mystery skill.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I still do the same, but my iPhone, take photos, you know, rather than carrying around an expensive expensive camera, but when you have a really good camera and you put a bit more thought into the shot, it invariably is better. Like, but for me, even just to take a photograph, I'm constantly trying to control the light or shoot in a direction where the light is or take some light away.
Yeah.
So what I've found the difference in, like, because I started with film and then over transitioned from when I was shooting, say, Silent Witness and Luther and Broadchurch, those sort of series that they were digital. And then I came back to film again on Westworld and I really enjoyed the process of being on film.
Right.
And I think it's just a case of each medium has its own place.
Right. Is that like vinyl, kind of?
Yeah,
is that
it's
the equivalent?
Vinyl, it's sort of, as you know, it's chemical. You know, film is purely chemical, even though it does go into the digital world afterwards and stays there. And I think it is a bit like vinyl, analog and sort of digital,
Yeah, and it's warmer or it's a bit more...
Yeah, and it has more texture. And I remember... I'm lucky enough, I've worked with Jim Sheridan a few times and I remember him saying that how he missed film, and what he missed was, he said, was the black in between the frames. It's like that sort of imperceptible flicker, that sort of, and also film has a great texture. Like, for example, on TV shows and movies I shoot on digital, I put film grain on them.
Oh, do you really? On purpose?
Yeah, I go and shoot film, expose it on grey.
Yeah.
And then in the grey, I dial some of that grain into the project. Right. A lot of people do because they like that texture. They don't want that clean, too sharp of an image.
Right. Interesting stuff. It's amazing, this thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, what strikes me as well is we all know things like focus puller and these terms, right?
So, but
I think you said the crew are everything, aren't they? I
mean, they are.
And the unsung heroes, are they, John, in many ways? And we see them at the credits. So we probably left the cinema by then.
Yes.
But they're very skillful people, aren't they? And they make a huge difference.
And very dedicated. And I remember... I think it was listening to somebody once. It could have been David Putnam. I'm not sure, but he was kind of saying that film is a real collaborative art. So, for example, if you want to paint, you can grab a stick of chalk and you can draw, or a pencil. If you want to make music, you can bang a drum or whatever. You can do all that on your own. But filmmaking is something that you really can't do on your own. You do need to bring other people in to help you, and the project's better for it.
Yeah.
You know, and if you can create an environment where people are very happy and they're not afraid to express themselves, in my experience, you find a much better project.
Right. John, what is a focus puller?
Well, focus puller is, in America, they call it the first assistant cameraman. And basically, it's your job. It's not, the cameras aren't autofocus. Basically, you're pulling focus on the person, the subject in the frame.
Right.
And so if they come forward, you have to bring it forward on the lens, and if they go back and so on. Or if someone's in the foreground and someone's in the background and they turn and you want to go back, you've got to throw the focus back for dramatic reasons and forward.
And you ever have to reshoot if you get it wrong.
Totally. In the film days, you never knew because the image was latent. So you never knew until the next morning when it went through the labs.
Right. Yeah.
So I used to sit with a depth of field calculator beside my bed, and I'd wake up in horror the night. Going, oh my God,
I got it wrong.
Did I get that right? Wrong. And I'd check it. And I'd say, I think you're probably okay. And wait, or you'd ring the labs at 5 a.m.
right.
over in England and say, well, how was it? And you go, everything's good. And
you go, phew.
You go back to sleep for an hour and this is the best sleep of the night.
Right. Now, I must ask you, who's your favourite director then to work with? Maybe you don't want to say.
My favourite director to work with? I have loads of them. I tend not to work with people I don't like, and that's the
truth. Anyway, yeah, right.
So I have,
because it's too tense.
Like, for example, I've been in New York for a year, and I was working with the head of the DGA, Leslie Linkey-Glatter, who shot Homeland and all that, or directed Homeland and all those shows. And you're with them for like a year of your life, and it's too much to do if you don't like the person.
Right, yeah.
So for me, I tend to like most of them, and most of them are really good friends of mine.
Are they? Yes, great circle of friends.
I tend to kind of work with the same directors over and over again.
And you get to know the actors.
Yes, you do, I presume. But I mean, to be honest, you know, they go from project to project to project. So that you can imagine that you might be one of maybe 4 or 5 DPs that they meet in the year. And you'll see them again. Like when I work with them again, it's great to see them.
And because you're a reunion.
Yeah, exactly.
And I hope they appreciate you.
Well, especially when you're lighting the ladies and stuff like that, they really appreciate it.
They appreciate
it. If you take, you know, your time and you look after them, because it's very difficult, for women in film, you know, because they're based more on their looks than the men.
Right. Yeah.
So even though it's not something you want to, you know, concentrate on too much, yeah, you really have to be careful and be kind,
right,
and take into consideration.
Right. And you work with some great actors along those, yes, lines. Maggie Smith, you know.
Yeah, yeah, she was great.
That really was Miracle, nice, Club, wasn't it? Yeah. And a movie I saw recently, Flora and the Sun,
yeah,
which I thought,
yeah,
was great. Houston, I thought it was a superb,
yeah, movie, yeah, John, I love John Carney as well. He's one of my favourite directors.
Is he?
Too.
He is.
Yeah.
He's very good, isn't,
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he's very, very good, and he has a great atmosphere on the set too.
Great. Now, we've got to talk about De Niro.
Yes.
Let's face it. So,
yeah. So
give us the story of it.
Well, I was doing Zero Day. It'll be out next year for Netflix. And it's about an ex-president who gets heads up this Zero Day Commission. There's been a cyber attack in America where they've basically shut down everything electronic for a minute, for one whole minute. And at the end of the minute, it says, this will happen again. So they know that it's going to be another attack, but they, right, don't know when. And so Bob's character basically goes out and, you know, he kind of heads up this commission and he was trying to get to the bottom of it. But I can't talk too much about it, but,
yep,
there's a lot of stuff that goes on in terms of many, many layers,
right,
to the,
yeah,
show. But it's like when you're starting, especially when I was a Clapper boy, you'd be thinking, God, I was very lucky, Richard Harris.
Oh, yes.
Tom, yeah, Berenger, John Hurt on my first film. And, you know, I've worked with Daniel Day-Lewis on The Name of the Father when, yeah, I was a Clapper boy and a focus puller and things like that. And you're always in the back of your head, you're going, oh, I'd love to work with Robert De Niro, yeah, one day. And so,
and lo and behold, and you were telling, yeah, me earlier, it's the first TV, it's Netflix,
first,
isn't it?
Yeah,
now what made
first
him
main
jump
TV
into that, do you think, was it?
I think the project is just so strong.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a six-parter, one director, one DP, you,
right,
know, so it's a very, it felt like we were doing 3 2-hour movies.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, so pretty intense, I'd say.
Yeah,
of course, he strikes me as an extremely intense person.
He's very polite and very considerate,
yeah,
and very quiet. He doesn't have an ego.
Really?
Yeah, no huge entourage or,
right,
anything like that. And just a very sweet man. Generous man.
Right, and talk about the zeitgeist. I mean, this seems to be, just seeing this IT outage and
exactly
what's happened. And also the presidential business
I know, all that sort of stuff. So
they're ticking all the boxes there. When's it coming out?
Yeah. I think it'll be either the end of the year or early into next year.
Right. So, yeah, does it take a lot of time then? I mean, it must be frustrating at one level. You finish your part.
And
then sometimes it's held, is it?
Yeah,
I
finish my part.
Yeah.
And then basically the editor and Leslie, the director, will do their cut and they'll show it to the execs, who are really Eric Newman and Noah Oppenheimer, really, you know, great guys. And they'll work out, they'll fine cut it and all that sort of stuff. And then they'll bring me back in for maybe 2 weeks at the end and I'll color time it. So basically I'll match all the frames so that they're all the same. Or based on how it's been edited, maybe the mood needs to change in one, so I might change colour a little bit or whatever, things like that. And so that'll be me finished with it again then.
And is it mainly colouring? What else can you change at that stage?
You can reframe some things. But it's mostly colour and you can create sort of shape, and not in the face, but you can create shape in the frame a little bit,
right,
by bringing in shadow and stuff like that.
Right. So truly is an art form, obviously.
I look at it as a craft.
Yeah.
That has artistic parts of it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And
it's more like storytelling.
Right. Yeah.
Like for me, it's the light for me is everything, because it's like the frame has no significance if it's not lit properly.
Right, yeah. Lighting is key to the whole thing.
So out of that then, the story, but the lighting is made on me. I'll read the script and I'll make little notes immediately as I read them in case I forget, obviously.
Right.
And it'll all be light-based.
Right. Yeah. And what's next? I mean, post De Niro can't be easy. you've reached your goal.
No, well, I'd say I'm very lucky. I'm working on Wednesday here in the show, which is the new series being shot here.
Right.
And then after that, there's a few projects, but I'm not sure yet.
Oh, you're not sure yet.
Yeah.
Many, many things ahead of you.
Yeah, I'll be very lucky. Yeah.
Right. Great stuff. Well, John, thanks very much for coming in. That's John Conroy, cinematographer extraordinaire. Didn't drop too many names, thankfully. But he is the man who calls him Bob De Niro.
Exactly.
John, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me. Thanks.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.